Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, our loving God and Savior. Amen. So, how many of you observed yesterday's special day? You know what yesterday was? There's actually the 28th of December is there's a new observance that is taking place. Hasn't quite made it to Seattle area much, but it is called Good Riddance Day. Did you know that? Yesterday was called Good Riddance Day. And you ask, well, what in the world is Good Riddance Day? Well, it's a new way to bring in the new year. It was started in New York City a number of years ago. On December 28th, people were encouraged to come to Times Square, write their grievances down, and then throw the list into a shredder, symbolizing the act of letting go of painful memories, bad experiences, foolish mistakes, bad relationships, dumb choices, and long-held grudges that had been lurking or gunking up their insides. Now, participants can use a sledgehammer in case there is no shredder available. Now, supposedly this Good Riddance Day is spreading to other cities, so I thought, well, I wonder if it's spread to Seattle yet. And because it seems like something Seattle people might like to participate in, right? So I wondered, is there a place here where people could come together to observe Good Riddance Day? And I found out hasn't really caught on in Seattle. It does not mean that it was not observed. And I looked up on the internet and found out that it was observed at the Sunset Tavern in Fallon. So I know where you were at yesterday if you observed Good Riddance Day. You know, there's something incredible about the idea of all out with the old and in with the new. In our epistle reading for today, Jesus said that he is the God of newness. We read in verse 5, "And he who was seated on the throne," and that would be Jesus, "said, 'Behold,'" or "see, I am making all things new." Now that word "behold" or "see" is a rhetorical device used in Scripture that means what I am telling you is of utmost importance. Pay attention to it. This is the same sentence structure that is found in Matthew when the angels came to Mary and announced that she would give birth to God's Son, Jesus. As Matthew says, all this took place to fulfill what God, the Lord, had spoken by the prophet. "Behold," or "see, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him, his name, Emmanuel," which means God with us. "See," Jesus says, "I am making all things new." These are good words for us to think about as we enter into this new year. I don't know about you, but it is hard for me not to think in terms of fresh starts. When December rolls around, it is hard not to shove off changes we need to make until after the new year, when we are sure that we will have much more time and energy and a willingness to tackle new projects, new endeavors. And it's hard not to feel that we are able to shake the dust off our feet from the old year and that we get to come to the new year with a clean slate. Everything seems possible. Yes, we've all been to this rodeo before. But here's the good news. We need not despair or give up. The scripture tells us that new is possible again and again. We have just read it here in Revelation. Behold, I am making all things new. And this is not the first time or the last time that he says this. Back in Isaiah 65, we read, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth." God is always up to something new. Always making us new. Always the author of new life. And that's the promise. Where we get confused is when we think about how and why we are made new. First, we are not the source of our newness. God is. It is God who makes all things new. And we are invited to be part of that process. You will note in Revelation, it reads, "I am making all things new." It is an ongoing action, not a turn on the switch and behold a new man, a new me. So often we are trying so hard to redeem ourselves and save ourselves. But though we are strong, the source of that strength is God. We have a Redeemer, a Savior, already. Sometimes we don't like how God wants to make us new. Sometimes, even though we say we want to be made new, we really want to keep on doing the same old thing. In our failures, we often get mixed up, believing that we are worthless or failures, beyond redeeming. We believe that our only options are to start over again, start from scratch, or give up altogether. We look at ourselves and our lives, and we don't see anything worth saving. But our text from Revelation reminds us that is not how God sees us. We are God's beloved. He calls us His bride. Hear these words. Hear them loud. Behold. Again, that word. Behold. See, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. Or as the gospel writer John puts it, and the Word became flesh and pitched His tent among us. We are God's people. God loves us. God wants the very best for us. God loves us enough that He wants to make sure that the light of Christ that shines within us has a clear path to shine for. Again, we get to be part of the process. So maybe the resolutions we make or anticipating making should instead be formed by asking questions. Questions like, what can I do to help God clean up the muck that is holding me back? What can I do to be open to God's work in my life? What can I do to immerse myself in the certainty of God's love for me? Our answers to these questions are some goals worth our time and energy, not just on the cusp of a new year, but every day after that. Today's gospel reading is about three wise men who came seeking something. These men were probably astrologers from the east, perhaps from Persia, Babylon. That would be today Iran and Iraq. They believed that human destiny was written in the stars. Whether there were three men or more is really unknown. Tradition says that there were three, but Scripture does not answer that question. The Magi from the East are inquisitive, adventurous, obedient to their calling, and seek no honor for themselves. They humble themselves before the Christ child and offer sacrificial gifts of great value. In short, they fit the image of someone who is a servant, more so than a know-at-all royalty that depends on their great wisdom. But what interests me this morning are the last words of the scripture reading, of that gospel reading. It says, "And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they depart to their own country by another way." They didn't stay, didn't hang around to bask in the beauty of the babe. They didn't stay where it was comfortable and secure. They set out by another road, a new road. And this new road was because they had seen the Messiah. They had seen Jesus, and they had come to know Him. They moved on in their journey of life, and so must we. For the manger for us is only one stopping place on our journey of faith. And while the message of the season may move us deeply, it should never transfix us. The rest of Christ's journey and our journey remains to be traveled. No matter how much we try, the road ahead of us will be a mixture of good and bad. It is this description that we have in our Old Testament reading. And I'm going to ask if you would turn to that Old Testament reading. And let us read together the words from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. "For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." This is the future that we can depend upon. It is going to be both good things and bad things. But in the end, we have that promise from God in Revelation. "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the springs of the water of life." In this journey, as we have noted, in this journey we will have good times and we will have bad times. But in all of this, throughout this journey, whether we believe it or whether we feel it, God will be with us. Now, how are we going to approach this life? I'd like to sort of end with a story that I wrote. It's kind of a modern parable. It was in the early part of the 19th century one dark and dreary night, a weary traveler came to the brinks of the mighty Mississippi for the first time. There was no bridge in sight, and ice covered the water as far as he could see. Could he dare cross over? Would the ice bear his weight? It was urgent that he made it to the other side. So finally, after much hesitation and with great fear and trembling, he began cautiously creeping on his hands and knees across the surface of the ice. By distributing his weight in this way, he hoped to prevent the ice from cracking beneath him. About halfway across, he heard a loud noise behind him and looked to see a man driving a horse-drawn sleigh filled with coal starting across the river. And there was this visitor on his hands and knees. The man, his horse, and the sleigh full of coal dashed past him and out of sight across the river of ice he was creeping across. You know, you and I are kind of like those travelers, that traveler, aren't we? Fear, by whatever name you call it, can prevent us from doing so much. Cautiously, timidly, trembling, we venture forth upon God's promises as though the lightness of our steps might make the promise more secure. Yet at the same time, we doubt that they might be true. God has promised to be with us. So believe God's promise to uphold us no matter what. God has promised to grant us full and free forgiveness of our sins through and because of Jesus Christ our Savior. Believe it. We need not creep upon those promises as though they were too fragile to hold us up. Stand upon them, confident God is as good as God's Word, and that our living, loving Lord will deliver them as He has promised. Maybe you've heard the expression, even if you are on the right track, you get run over if you just stand there. Each of us has a new road ahead of us in this new year. It's a new road, a different road than the one we've traveled before. And as we step off down the road, not knowing what we might find, not knowing exactly what we are going, we can be comforted in knowing that the light of Christ goes with us, leading us, guiding us, showing us the way. God will be with us on our journey down the new road ahead, and for that, we give God all the glory. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.